Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Steve Crombie, pastor of the River, or I like to call it the Revirtual Church. Right here, I got my mug, got my River cup, and I want to say hi to everyone, and I miss you guys. I miss being together. I miss the hugs and handshakes, and I want to say a special hello to Claudia in Brazil. Pretty cool. Woohoo! We got people being able to tune in from all over. I hope you're safe there, too. This is our third week to be together online. Joan and I are praying for you all to be safe and healthy and in body, soul, and spirit in every way as we endure this hardship together. And hopefully the end will come sooner than we think. But Jesus is still Lord of this world that He created and that He loves, and He's sustaining it all. He cares about us deeply. Amen. So I do want to take some time with you to pray for hospital workers, clinics, first responders, police, firemen, all those who are working their jobs that are essential workers serving others at risk to their own health. And so would you join me in prayer for them right now? Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we thank you that there are people that willingly and joyfully and sacrificially are going into the teeth of this thing and helping people that are vulnerable, that are sick, that are in need in some way. And Lord, we just pray for your supernatural protection on them all. And we pray for your blessing on them physically, spiritually, financially, socially, in every way, God. We just pray that you would be glorified and that you would bring an end to this, God. Of course, we pray for an end to this virus, this pandemic, and just pray that you would be glorified. Help us, Lord, and bless all those who are sacrificially giving of themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. There's power in praying together, in agreement. So here we are. Resurrection Sunday is a week away. It's hard to believe. We had all kinds of plans for both Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and there, I want you to stay tuned into our website and Facebook so to find out some more plans that are coming up. But this is a time, today is a day in history when Jesus rode into Jerusalem as king, and we know of it as Palm Sunday or the triumphal entry. The people were very excited and rightfully believed that Jesus was there to set them free, to deliver them from Rome and all kinds of things. And they knew that he was fulfilling the words of the prophet Zechariah that we can read about both in that book and also the book of Matthew. And that's what I'm going to read this morning. I want to read from the book of Matthew chapter 21. And I encourage you to have your Bibles with you when we get together at these times. Get your Bible open, have it with you, get familiar with it, read it, and consume it. It's the most powerful weapon we've been given by God, and we need to know it well. I want to, again, always be encouraging you to be Bible literate. That's our goal here at the River. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Then we'll pray. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Verse 6 says, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks or their jackets on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread out their jackets on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Now, Hosanna means save. We'll get to that. But when Jesus entered Jerusalem, The whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And then Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Let's just pray. Father, we just commit this time to you and thank you for your word. Thank you that it's just as important for us to know your word now, and in many ways all the more important as it was when it was written thousands of years ago. Lord, just pray you'd bless our time, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you want us to see and hear through your word. And just, Lord, help me to communicate well what's on your heart through this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the place was going crazy with joyful celebration. They were happy. And keep in mind, Jesus had already done all kinds of miracles. This was towards the end. This was after 3.5 years of miracles and healings and confronting the Pharisees and confronting the secular leaders, the elders, all in love and all with truth and grace that Jesus carried with him everywhere. I just want to say some of the reason for the palm branches and they're laying their jackets down, it symbolized that they were taking their garments off and putting them on the ground, symbolizing that they are coming under the authority of Jesus as their king. They were calling him the king. They were recognizing him, and Jesus himself was coming in. This was a cultural thing. Kings typically after battle would ride into the city with a big ceremony, big event, big celebration. Although Jesus humbly came riding on a baby donkey. And so other kings would come in with big show, but Jesus came in humbly, but he was acknowledging that he is the king of the Jews. And then many times during his crucifixion, during the Good Friday story of the passion of the Christ, the Pharisees said, "He said he's the king of the Jews. He claimed to be king of the Jews." And there's no clear scripture that says that in black and white, but Jesus, we know, this is an example where he was saying, "Yes, I am king of the Jews." And so they're throwing their jackets down, they're cutting branches off, and again, symbolizing that they're coming under the authority of Christ, happily surrendering to his authority, believing that he would, in a military way, overpower the Romans, in a political and a military way, set them free to do what they wanted to do, to be what they wanted to be, to go where they wanted to go. They wanted to have the life that you and I had just a few weeks ago. Ironically, they were convinced that Jesus was their ticket to the good life. And so, because Jesus had proven to them earlier, he had already miraculously fed thousands at a time with very little. He had healed all their sicknesses and diseases and those sorts. He raised the dead. I mean, he confronted the religious leaders, the corrupt leaders of their day, both in the church and in the secular realm. And he showed that he had no fear of anyone or anything. He had no fear of the natural elements, of the storms, and you name it. But as we know, Jesus didn't come to overthrow Caesar. He didn't come to overthrow the Pharisees or to overthrow the leaders, the teachers of the law. He didn't come to satisfy just their physical hunger and give them natural freedom. He came to satisfy their spiritual hunger and give them true freedom. Freedom that goes way beyond the natural things of this world. And he came to give it permanently, forever, abundant life and eternal life. And so I want to speak to those of you who are maybe wrestling with fear and uncertainty in this time. I just want to say, I want to encourage you that Jesus came to set you free. set you free from fear. He came to make a way. And, and there's some things we're going to talk about here that specifically will help you to not be fearful, to not be discouraged, not be in despair, not be worried about what the future has, because Jesus is sustaining and holding all things together. He loves you. He knows exactly what you're dealing with, and he wants to show you how to get through this, how to get through it, not to just get by, but to thrive in it and to truly have that abundant life, even in this situation, even in these times when we're separated. So I want to help you with your understanding and view of God, that he is perfectly loving and powerful. So there's three things that happen that are related to this Palm Sunday story that are in all, by the way, the story is in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And many of these aspects are in multiple, not all, but in multiple Gospels. So number one, Jesus as King came to reconnect us to our Father in heaven. Jesus as King, now he's riding into Jerusalem as King. The concept of God being our Father was a new thing at that time. He was Yahweh, he was Jehovah, he was all-powerful. They had a great understanding of the Old Testament understanding of who God is, but God as Father was a new concept, and Jesus came and he was restoring things, and he went right into the temple, first place he went to, riding into Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. He went into the temple, the foremost place in the world that God had established as a place where he would meet with people, a place of worship, a place of connection, a place where he said, I will, my spirit will dwell in this place, and he would meet with people. So this is in the heart of Jerusalem, and Jesus went in there and he saw what it had become. It became a place, a marketplace of buying and selling and commotion and commerce and busyness and chaos, really, and it became a place that he didn't want it to be. And yes, it became a place of business, but not the kind of business God intended. And so Jesus, we read, he overthrew the tables of those making the profit off the people, and he put a stop to it, and he said, my house will be called what? A house of prayer. What's a house of prayer? It's a place of connection between God and man. Prayer is just our talking to God and our listening to God, and both are important. Not just talking to God, but taking time to listen to him, because he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So it's a place of connection, the back and forth, a heart-to-heart communication. Jesus is saying, this isn't a marketplace, this is a place of prayer, not a den of robbers. This is a place of communing with God. And as the temple was in the heart of Jerusalem, God wants to come into our hearts and commune at that deep heart level. The deepest place in us is our hearts, not just our heads. He's going to use that too, and he doesn't want you to throw your brain away. He wants you to understand, but also know that it goes way beyond understanding. Knowing God is not just about knowing a book or knowing about him, but it's knowing him in your heart. That's undeniable. And we are those temples. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to commune with us there. So Jesus went right to the temple. And he overturned the commotion and the marketplace stuff and all that. And this virus has stripped away everything, most things that would consume our time and attention. Even the daily going to we're down to just going to daily business in stores that are essential. This thing has wiped out many of the chores, many of the things that we would do or enjoy doing. Entertainment is really done for now. All major sports are shut down, which, I miss that. I was looking forward to baseball, I was looking forward to some things. The Olympics, 2020 Olympics, are now going to be the 2021 Olympics. Really something. Even the ability to earn money, even in our jobs. Many are not able to go to their jobs fully. So it's really, this is not the way we'd want it, but we've been given time by God. We've been given time to be with Him, to reconnect with Him as our Father in heaven who loves us. He's jealous for us, saints. I just want to tell you, He wants us to know Him. He wants us to get to know Him better at this time. He wants us to press in to Him and read His Word and hear His voice. He wants to speak to you in the discouragement, in the challenge. He wants us to get back to a right perspective of what it really, what life is about, what really matters in life. And with Him as Father at the top of our priorities. So He's cleaning house so we can get back to what really matters. Then number two, Jesus as King, and again, just as King, came to reveal the importance of bearing fruit. Another story that you see in connection with the Palm Sunday, with the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, is that he stayed in Bethphage that night after riding in, and then he's coming back into the city, coming back the next morning, and he's going by a fig tree, and you can read it right there in Matthew. The next morning, he goes by a fig tree, and he sees that it was leafy, it was green, it looked healthy, looked good, but there was no figs on it, no fruit. And so he says, "May you never bear fruit again." And he cursed this tree. And it's a picture that speaks to us about looking good but not bearing fruit. And that's what I take from it. We can have money in the bank. We can have all kinds of nice things. But if we're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, then we're missing it. We're missing out on what God intended. And we can look really religious. We can be doing some religious things, but be fruitless in it. And that's not what God wants. We, as the temple, we can have religion and have no substance. We can have a Bible and not read it. We can have a Bible and read it and not put it into practice. That's not what God wants. In church, there's never been a better time as right now to bear fruit, to be fruitful. There's never been a more important time for us to not only know the Word of God, but to be putting it into practice. We have to be not just hearers of the Word, we have to be doers of the Word. And this is the time when it matters most, not just for your life, but for people all around you. Being religious never was and never will please God. It never has and it never will. Quite the opposite. If Jesus is truly King of our lives, He's always going to be looking for genuine fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. And I want to read the list. There's nine, the Bible makes clear, nine fruits of the Spirit. And I want to normally try to say them quickly through. I just want you to think about each one. Love. This is what God wants to have growing in your soul, growing in your heart, and coming out your mouth, and coming out in your voice, coming out your eyes, coming out in your life. Love, joy, peace. Are those things growing in your character? This is what He's looking for. Patience. This is a great time to demonstrate patience. This is a great time to show the world, show God, all that you've learned from His Word about love is patient, love is kind. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the best time that there ever was to show those fruits in your life. Those things, those character qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, they are worth far more to God than anything that we could ever possess of this world's goods, of the things of this world. This is what He's looking for. The parable of the four soils echoes this idea when He talks about the sower went out and he sowed seed on the rocks and the soil, and some fell among the thorns, and it says, some of the seed sown fell among the thorns and was choked out by two things, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. And those two things, opposite sides of the same coin, worries of this life. How are we going to make it? What are we going to do? How am I going to pay the bills? Where are we going to get the money? What? That will choke out the fruit, and equally so, what will choke out the fruit that God wants produced, the fruit of the Spirit, is the deceitfulness of wealth. The idea that says, hey, I got what I need. I got enough money here. I got plenty. I'm secure in my wealth, and that will choke out the fruit as well that God wants to see coming forth in your life. Because we all have cares, and we all have to deal with things. We all have challenges, and we all have a measure of wealth. We all have provision in some way or another, but no matter what our cares are, God is bigger. No matter what your financial challenges are, no matter what your health issues are, no matter what your social challenges are, your work challenges, God is bigger than those. And no matter what great 401k or bank account or stuff you have, God is better than that. And we all know how easily that stuff can just sprout wings and fly away. 401k accounts, bye-bye. Different things that just aren't secure. God is greater than any of the best investments that we can make. And God is bigger than any of the worries or concerns. And that's the message of our God. He's bigger than all that. And He's better than the best of what we could have. So God is greater. How do we bear fruit? We bear fruit the same way that plants bear fruit. Water, sun, staying put in good dirt. And the water, we read the word. It talks about our souls are renewed and restored, and we understand and grow and thrive as we are spending time in the Word of God. We're being washed and watered by the Word of God and provided for. Plants need water to bear fruit, and then sun. They need time in the sun. We need time with Jesus, time with His body as much as we can. It's so important to stay connected as much as we can in this way, but we need to spend time in the Son of God, Jesus, the Almighty One. Time in His presence, time in prayer, time in His Word. And then staying put in good dirt. In good dirt is that idea of like a plant that is uprooted and repotted over and over and over. And we need to give it time. When you spend time, when you commit to getting with Jesus, getting with the Lord, take your time, stay in it. Don't uproot. Stay in it. In fact, dirt, it just needs time to develop the fruit. Dirt is a product of the things that were alive and now they're dead. Dirt is dead matter. Dirt is dead leaves, dead branches, dead things. And the best dirt is rich, freshly dead things. And every time you die to yourself, every time you say no to sin, every time you put His will before your own, you're dying to yourself. You're creating great compost for God to work in and to bear fruit through. And so take your time, give God time to work in your situation. Don't just try Him, try God, and go back to worry and despair. Stay put in good dirt, in death to self, and in His Word and in prayer. And fruit will come, the fruit that will come. Because God wants you to bear genuine fruit from your faith in Him, not just what looks good on the outside, but enough to declare confidently to yourself and to others that God's got this, that He's got this. God's in control. He's in charge. And the disciples questioned Jesus about the death of the fig tree. How did it wither so quickly? And Jesus said, whatever you want, whatever ask whatever you want. You, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be removed, to go into the sea, and it will. And so an encouragement also with the fig tree is that declare the goodness of God, declare the promises of God, speak it out. And like Jesus declared even a curse on this tree and it withered quickly, you can declare life. You can declare that God is the God of your finances. God is in charge of the world. God is going to bring healing. God will bring glory to himself and good for us in this worldwide situation. So declare it. Declare it. That's part of the lesson of the fig tree. Let that fruit of joy rise up in you and not only reassure yourself, but reassure others. Reassure your family. And parents, I just want to interject, be really careful what you explain to your kids. You know, they're not designed to carry a heavy load of a full understanding of what's going on internationally. Just keep sensitive to age-appropriate information. It's like, let your kids be kids. Don't let them be the ones that carry a heavy load of worry or responsibility on this. Make it fun. Do what you can, and we're praying for you. I mean, I don't have little kids at home, but I just want to say we're praying for you, and let this be a fun, special time that's for a season. Kids are so resilient. They don't need to understand fully what's going on. Don't try to share that with them. And so God wants you to be joyful in hope. And we absolutely have that in Christ. And then the third thing, Jesus as King came to reveal that he is the King of Kings. He's the highest authority there is. The third story connected to the triumphal entry that you see is it says the teachers of the law, the chief priests and the elders of the people question Jesus' authority. They say, who gave you this authority? By whose authority? By what authority are you doing this thing, these things, and who gave it to you? And Jesus answered them by asking them a question. So he didn't even answer the question. He asked them a question. It was about John's baptism. Was it from God or was it from man? And they reasoned among themselves, and they were unable to answer Jesus' question. For time's sake, I won't go into it, but the idea is they said, we don't know. And Jesus didn't honor them with an answer to their question. He showed them in this that his authority is above their authority. He is the highest authority over any spiritual or secular authority. And so so here Jesus, as he reveals that he is higher than any other, and that's important to know, as he's coming into Jerusalem as king, he's more in charge than this coronavirus. Just want to say corona means, where is it, crown of the head. Coronavirus isn't king. Jesus is king. It's interesting that that's what it means. And God wants the truth about who he is to spread around the world like the coronavirus is spreading around the world. This is a picture of the gospel, how it started in Israel and is spread to the nations in this similar way. And it's a natural and a spiritual reality as this thing is spreading. God wants the good news of who he is to spread around the world, nation to nation. And that's the message to learn from the people on that, that we are to learn from those people on that first Palm Sunday. As they're cheering and celebrating their king, throwing down their jackets, throwing down palm branches, and laughing with joy and great expectation as Jesus rode in, they're expecting Jesus to make their lives fun and easy and happy. And when Jesus failed them one week later, they were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Because they had a false expectation. They had a false expectation of what Jesus was going to do for them. They didn't understand he wasn't there to make their lives happy. He was there to make their lives so much better than just happy. but it wasn't done in a way that they expected, and they were really disappointed. And we don't want to be disappointed in Jesus at this time, because he is here to do so much more for us than just help us eke out a living in this life. Be careful not to have a false expectation, even in Jesus, even with what you know about him, that to give into temptation that says he's not doing it right. I want to just caution you, and as we humble ourselves and come under his authority, trust him. Trust him no matter what things are looking like all around you. Trust him that he has life for you, and that you can rejoice and give thanks in every situation. That you can give joy or give thanks and be joyful, not only for you, but for your family, for your friends, for your descendants. Because someday we're going to look back on this, and we're going to see that it was in the past. Right now will be history someday. And we want to look back and say, we stood strong with Jesus. We trusted him. We recognized him as King. We recognize that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. We recognize that we have authority in our own voices, in our own declaration, that he's given us by his authority to speak to things, and it will go well. And it will, and it's things that are in the will of God. And we recognize that he's the highest authority that there is. And he's only good, and he only does wondrous things. There's nothing dark in him. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. He's the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So I just want to encourage you today, trust him. Trust him and rejoice in him, and let the fruit of his Spirit come forth in your life. Do what it takes to spend time in the water of his word, and in the presence of the Son, and dying to yourself and not giving in to fear and anxiety, but put your hope in the Lord. So let's pray. Let's just close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are the Son of God, and you came to do so much more than just give us a nice time on earth, a nice comfortable life. You came to, yes, give us abundant life, but more than that, eternal life, to live forever and to be blessed. And thank you for your great love that's an everlasting love. Father, we just trust your protection and provision for us. Thank you that you're a Father who cares for us. And Lord, I just pray for those who have heavy hearts. Lord, I pray for your healing of those who are weary and those affected medically, physically, and financially. Lord, I just pray for your blessing and protection and provision. We declare that you are our provision, you are our protection. Thank you for what you're doing around the world, that you're doing a big thing called the harvest. You're getting people's attention because you're interested in not just their lives in this brief time on earth, but you're interested in their lives eternally. And Lord, I pray for your Spirit to reap a harvest of souls, and that you would use us, God. Use us to be your messengers, Lord, and be working in your harvest fields. And Lord, help us to bear that fruit of love, joy, peace, Lord, that we can multiply that and operate from that perspective, joyfully sharing the good news about who you are. Thank you, God, that you are sustaining all things with your love and grace. I just pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. So if you'd like to contact us for any reason, we'd like to hear from you. If you want help being sure that you're born again, that you're saved, that you're right with God, that your sins are forgiven, email us. Leave a message on Facebook, The River Church MN. Or on our website, theriverchurch.org. You can email me. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to help you understand and know that God loves you, and he cares about you, and he's got a plan to to see you through this. And it's not just going to be okay, it's going to be glorious. Amen. So we love you all, miss you all. Be safe. Amen.